When you listen to your ambition, you can accomplish amazing things. Whether you're looking to start your career or get ahead in your career, your journey begins at Seneca Polytechnic's Open House on Saturday, April 20th. Join us in person or virtually from 9 a.m. to noon to discover programs, meet Seneca experts, attend live presentations, and explore our campuses. You've got the ambition. Now take the first step. Register at senecapolytechnic.ca.
Had a difficult time defining what that was. Was it entertaining? Was it a good game? Was it a crazy game? It's a memorable game. I don't think there's any denying that. 9-6 in 2022. You don't see that ever.
Well, let me ask you. You have no skin in that game. You're just watching as a fan. Did you like it? Did you think it was weird?
I found it very fascinating. I never really felt like it was a game. Even though Edmonton got back into it, I always thought Calgary was going to win.
Yeah.
And like my initial thought was Mike Smith isn't going to give them a chance to win. And then really Mike Smith kind of became an afterthought because the game was eventually tied early in the third, but it was a just result. Like Calgary was certainly better.
Yeah.
Here's our TSN hockey insider, Chris Johnston. CJ, how would you define the first chapter of the Battle of Alberta last night?
Well, if I'm going to be honest, I went to bed when it was 5-1. I thought it was that little of a game. And
right.
I don't normally do that, but it literally just looked like Calgary was going to roll to victory. You know, obviously I've since caught up on what I missed. But yeah, look, it's just a strange, strange game. I mean, the Flames score 13 goals in a 7-game series win over Dallas and then get 9 with the empty netter in game 1 and round 2. So that about sums up how weird it is. I don't think that there's, it's one of those ones, if we were going deep on that series, if you're, you know, one of the journalists that's there covering it every day, or if this show's based out of Calgary, Edmonton, like, I don't think you can pull that much out of it in terms of, you know, storylines or trends that you think are going to continue. I just think it was one of those strange ones that the tape will get burned. If you're in the stands, probably a hell of a lot of fun. But I'm guessing game 2 is going to look completely different.
I agree, CJ. Like, I was thinking about it last night, and it comes back to the saying, you know, Calgary's up 1-0. However it happened, you know, the coaches are like, burn the tape. The goalie coach is like, don't even look at that again. Like, you know, Edmonton, I think there is some teaching moments is the wrong word, but it's like, hey, do you want to play like this? Because that's what's going to happen. You're going to give up 9. Like, I think there are some things where it's like, guys, like, you gave up 27 slot shots. Like, you can't, Johnny Gaudreau's line will chew you apart. It'll be done in 4 games if you do that. Like, that's it. Like, so it's, there are some things you can lay out there, but ultimately, I know players have, like, they have amnesia from game to game. Like, they lost. The game's over. They'll move on. And I think that's where, if you're Edmonton, you're like, yeah, we're down 1-0, but if we win tomorrow night, we got home ice advantage heading home. So that has to be the focus. But it's certainly from a fan's perspective and media, there's lots of little storylines to kind of pull out of it. But it was kind of a weirdly entertaining game last night for a casual fan.
Well, and it reminds me of like Tampa-Toronto, right? It was 5-0 in game 1, you know, the Lightning lost. And you know, as much as that was a great victory for the Leafs, if you're the Lightning, you just go win game 2 and everything's back to level footing. I think that's, you know, you're hitting on the point there, Noodle. I think Edmonton, doesn't really matter how you lost. You know, a bunch of pucks went through Markstrom, which you just don't see too often, too. I mean, it was a strange, strange night, I think is the best way to put it. And, you know, I do think that the rest of the series will just look completely different. We'll be talking about sort of different elements that the teams have over each other. Obviously, the Oilers, if they turn the puck over like that, they're going to have no chance. But, you know, I don't expect that to be the case. I still think this will be a close series. And McDavid just quietly putting up 4 points in a loss. I mean, this guy, he's in God mode right now in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, he certainly is. Yeah, he was, I mean, that's the thing, that a night like that from McDavid, and it's not really one that you're going to remember because he lost, you know, and it was more about the goaltending and the defensive woes, and, you know, there's more buzz about Markstrom performing and Sutter's postgame comments and Brady Tkachuk being a super fan. Meanwhile, like, there's the best player in the world. Dancing, like, that's what he was doing last night. He was in the mood to play, and if his team gave him anything defensively or goaltending, I mean, that probably was a game McDavid was going to like will to victory, you know, or it certainly felt like that anyway. But it just never was a possibility.
Right. I mean, he's getting like spinorama assists,
yeah.
One-handed flick passes. The nice goal he scored, the first goal. I mean, yeah. I mean, that I think that'll actually be a storyline in the series. You know, because I'm saying I think everything's going to be different. You know, McDavid does, he's been so good, but like this playoffs, right? He's got multiple point games in 7 of the 8 games he's played. You know, that I think as we look towards tighter checking games in the series, that'll be an interesting thing, you know, what Calgary can do about him. And I saw today Sutter was sort of talking about that in his remarks to the reporters, just that McDavid was by far the best player on the ice and they got to concern themselves with that. And you know, I still think he's going to have a huge impact and not just, you know, in a big comeback for the Oilers, you know, where they're down that deep, but where, you know, he's going to be a factor that the Flames got to really focus in on.
With Chris Johnston, our TSN Hockey Insider. So you've written an article about Jack Campbell and his contract moving forward. I think it's probably the number one priority for the Leafs is for them to figure out what they're going to do in net. I don't think you can move on beyond that until you figure out that position. It's the most important position in the sport. So what is your read on maybe the first move for the Maple Leafs? How are they going to approach this between now and free agency?
It's a tricky one, right? Because I still think it can go a couple directions with their goaltending. I mean, you have two NHL spots. Right now, one of them is eaten up by the $3.8 million on Peter Mrazek's contract. You know, it's not a mystery or to think that the Leafs will explore ways they might be able to get out from under that deal, that they put Peter Mrazek on waivers on trade deadline day or the day before, trying to entice someone to take him for free. You know, everyone passed. But, you know, I think that will be a factor in whatever happens, because if he's back making $3.8 million, I just don't see how they could ever pay Jack Campbell what his market value is going to be, you know, to have those guys as a tandem again. You know, if you're getting rid of Mrazek, what is it cost in terms of another, you know, prospect or, you know, draft picks or what have you, you know, in terms of trying to get teams to take that on? And then in the middle of all this, you know, Jack Campbell's a player. Let's remember, he's 12 years on from when he was drafted 11th overall.
Right.
And this was the first season in his career, finally, where he played more than half his team's games in the NHL, you know, where he's a number one guy after a long, long time. Relative to his peers and what guys make, he hasn't made that much money. And this is his opportunity, you know, to cash in, so to speak, or to get what he's worth. He's reached a different stage of his career. He's 30 years old. And so what I think is interesting in terms of the dynamic here is, okay, the Leafs are juggling a few different balls in terms of what they do at that position. But on top of that, you have a player that I think, you know, it's fair to say the Leafs like and he likes here, but you know, they talked contract with his agent last summer and couldn't get anywhere. And, you know, I'm not certain, it's too soon to say where this will go, but I don't think it's unfair to sort of point out that this one might be a difficult one for the two sides to find, you know, happy ground. A number of goaltenders, as Noodles will know, that are kind of in Jack Campbell's range have signed for about $5 million a year in the last 12 months. And I would expect he's looking for something similar. And unless the Leafs can get out from Mrazek and come up with another second option that's cheaper, I just don't see how they pay him $5 million to stay.
I agree. Like we were talking about it the other day, and everything is about comparables and what a team is willing to pay for your services. But this is a unique one based on his age, based on how much he's played, you know, in his career. This year he played 49 games in the regular season because of an injury, because of other things. But that's his career high. I look at him as kind of that tandem goaltender, and you just mentioned $5 million range. That's kind of the Robin Lehner neighborhood. Now, Lehner had a couple years where, you know, the numbers were really good, and same thing with Jack Campbell. But it's just, you know, can the Leafs afford that number? Do they want him on term at that number? There's so many different things. Or, you know, do you want that Carolina model where it's you've walked away from your goaltenders, you move them, and you start over? But it'll all come in. This is the multi-million dollar question for us, guys, is if Jack Campbell doesn't like what he sees in this particular situation, this is a business. He might get an offer from somebody else, and it might be the Philip Grubauer situation. It's like Philip Grubauer left Colorado, left a team that's a cup favorite to go and get more money. Now, I understand it. I respect it because, you know, when you run the numbers, it's about a $10 extra million for Grubauer guaranteed. So it's not peanuts.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. But you're getting hazard pay going over to Seattle. Like, keep that in mind. The grass, you know, grass may be greener in cash, but it's not going to be greener in, you know, wins and you know, trying to get to the ultimate
guaranteed
prize.
Guaranteed money, though. Doesn't matter where your stats are.
But
that money's guaranteed.
So Jack's got to sort that out. Does he want to run it back here? you know, have an opportunity with the Leafs on a very good team, and his numbers look pretty good if he can hold up and all that? Or do you go to a team that, you know, wants to give you a little bit more, maybe a little bit more security, but, man, it could look ugly for a year or two?
Right. It's an interesting dance on both ends. You know, the one thing, if you're Campbell, it's the easiest thing for me to understand. Obviously, never been a pro athlete, but if he can go make a lot more money somewhere else, I would never hold that against him. Like I understood why Zach Hyman left Toronto, because, you know, the Leafs just couldn't pay him that. It's not, they love the guy. He loved it here. You know, his family's from here. He'll probably live in Toronto the rest of his life post-career, but it just didn't, they didn't match up business-wise. And so if that's what, or, you know, prompts Jack to leave, should he leave? That makes sense to me. But if he's having second thoughts and, you know, the team's got to, I mean, I'm Jamie, I'm from the goaltending is voodoo camp a little bit. I have a hard time. Well, you know, when people ask, like, okay, if they move on from Jack Campbell, who are they going to sign? And look, I can look at the free agent list like anyone else. There's guys that are free agents this year that have had tons of success in the league, that have won Stanley Cups. Like, I don't know what the answer is. I mean, it's a difficult question, but it's a huge decision, obviously, if you're Toronto, because like Carolina a year ago, I know they were nervous. You know, they brought in Frederik Anderson and Antti Raanta, but they had a good team, and you bring in two goalies, you just don't know how it's going to go. It went pretty well for them this year, even though they're kind of dealing with an injury situation with Freddie now. But, you know, if the Leafs do end up bringing in two new goaltenders, which I don't think is impossible, you have this great team, you have everything you did this year, but it could all be sunk if that, you know, if those decisions don't work for you. And that's sort of what I think the Leafs are going to have to work through here in the next 6, 7, 8 weeks.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious with how Shanahan and Dubas explained everything on Tuesday, explained their own viewing of what happened this year and into the playoffs and their own impressions of it. And even though they lost in the first round, you know, Shanahan was trying to paint it somewhat of a positive picture and felt like they were on their toes this year as opposed to their heels. Again, it doesn't mean anything, but I guess if that's your evaluation, so, you know, so be it. But wouldn't Jack Campbell apply there too? Like, in other words, if they felt good about the whole process and Campbell was a primary part of it, you're not going to make change for the sake of change, then shouldn't it be a priority to bring back Campbell? Like, where do you draw the line on them loving their team, even though they don't win anything, and wanting to effectively run it back, which we'll see if that's actually true or not, without, like, one of the three or four main pillars, the starting goalie, guy who was your guy all year?
Well, it's just down to dollars and cents, I think. You know, Jack Campbell made, what, about $1.7 million this year, so they paid roughly $5.5 million in NHL money for their goaltending. I mean, potentially he's getting almost that much himself. And so I think the decision largely is dollars and cents. I mean, there might be an element of performance in there. But, you know, if he's looking to get what, you know, Allmark got in Boston, which is $5 million, You know, Cal Peterson signed for $5 million in L.A. Merzlikin signed for $5.4 in Columbus. You know, Saros got $5 million in Nashville. You know, if he can get into that range, I really have a hard time seeing how they do it, because, you know, obviously they still have to try to upgrade. They've got RFA contracts for Sandin and Liljegren and Pierre Engvall. You know, there's only so much to go around. And so I do think ultimately it just might be a financial, you know, situation where you've got a player in this case, you know, like Mark Giordano might stick here because he doesn't need to make money, right? He's trying to win a Stanley Cup, and he likes playing in his hometown, much like we've seen from Jason Spezza in the last few seasons. I mean, I could see a scenario where he stays probably a little bit below what he could get if he wanted to hit the open market. I think Jack Campbell almost has no choice but to get market value just because, you know, he hasn't maximized his value at this point. And so that's sort of where it seems to me like it's at. I mean, there's still time here. I don't think everything's still pretty fresh and raw in terms of the loss. Like, no decisions have been reached, but, you know, it's just hard to see the path to where he gets what he needs at this point in his career and they keep the number where they needed to. And so that's what I think it comes down to. I mean, fans probably don't like hearing this stuff. I mean, it's really down to the hard cap league. I think in an alternate universe, if we remember pre-2005, like back in the old days, the Leafs probably would have kept Hyman last summer and if they didn't have, you know, if they could go above the cap, if there was no cap, you probably sign all the guys you like, and it's a different sort of league. But now I think more difficult business decisions have to be reached by teams that are trying to compete. And, you know, ultimately it might price him. It might price McKayev out of town. And we've seen that over the years, whether way back to JVR, Bozak, Gardner, all these guys were sort of let to walk because the Leafs couldn't pay them what they were going to get somewhere else.
Yeah. No, and that's totally understandable. I guess my concern for the Leafs would be that that's not the position that you mess with, right? You can replace Zach Hyman. You did with Bunting. And maybe you can replace Jack Campbell. I'm not saying you can't replace him or even find an upgrade. But right. It's likely going to cost you something to do that. Like the idea of them concluding, okay, had to sign Riley, got to keep the four up front. Let's find a couple of goalies at $1 million apiece or whatever it's going to be. Man, that's a gamble. Like, because you might have the makings of a great team. Lines 1 through 4, deep pairings 1 through 3. If you've got goaltending that's bottom third in the league, you can't win. You cannot win. So
yeah.
It's
right.
A gamble.
You might have everything else right, but that will dictate how we're talking about next season.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think it'll be interesting to see. I don't know. I mean, they're pretty tight-lipped, and you know that, CJ. Like, there's a cone of silence on both sides. If any information comes out about, you know, what Campbell's camp is looking for and, you know, what they're willing to give, that'll be interesting because to see how far apart they are or if they can bridge the gap and just make it happen and make everyone happy for both camps if that's what the Leafs want to do.
Right. Well, I mean, look, his agent is Kurt Overhard, who's traditionally done a good job for his clients in terms of maximizing what they can earn. And so that's not to say, look, you've been in that situation. A player can instruct his agent what to do, but if it comes down to the agent, I think it's going to be a difficult negotiation to find common ground given where the two sides are at.
We'll see where it goes. Great stuff, CJ. Thank you for doing this, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
All right. Talk soon, boys. Have a good weekend.
Chris Johnston, our TSN Hockey Insider.